today as we come to the table.
What happens is, over time, you come to a place where it's so far beyond you that you give up. And it's a great place to be. At first, it's discouraging because you think, well, I'm giving up. But then it's a great place to be when you realize I'm not giving up the call. I'm just giving up my efforts to make it happen. And you begin to see God work. And you begin to see God move. And I can honestly say it's when I really started just letting go and letting God just take the ministry, things began to happen. But as I said, I don't want you to be discouraged if you've tried to do that and you've been unable to do it, because it took me many, many years to get to that place. And I think God brought me to a place where He had to, again, do an amazing work in me before He could even do a work through me for the ministry.
Every now and then, as you're gliding down the highway, you might suddenly find yourself staring at a road closed ahead sign right there in front of you. It's like a surprise party you didn't ask for. So, do you just make a U-turn and head back home? I really don't think that's the case. You look out for contingencies, right? Just like that. Walking in the path that God wants for you can be a bit bumpy at times. You might encounter a few blockages in the road, too. Well, thanks for taking the time to join us as we come to the table, the daily Bible study program of Mark Kirk, Senior Pastor of Calvary Knoxville. Today, Pastor Mark inspires you to keep faith in God's plan for your life. Instead of throwing in the towel, he urges you to seek out solutions or alternatives. Now, let's join Pastor Mark in the book of Zechariah chapter 4 with today's edition of Come to the Table.
Zechariah chapter 4 says, "Now the angel of the Lord who talked with me came back and wakened me as a man who's awakened out of his sleep. And he said to me, 'What do you see?' And I said, 'I'm looking, and there's a lampstand of solid gold with a bowl on top of it. And on the stand, seven lamps with seven pipes to the seven lamps. Two olive trees are by it, one on the right of the bowl and the other on its left.' So I answered and spoke to the angel who talked with me, saying, 'What are these, my Lord?' And the angel who talked with me answered me and said, 'Do you not know what these are?' And I said, 'No, my Lord.' And he answered and said to me, 'This is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts.'" Now, as we get into "not by might nor by power," this chapter is very special to me, because God has used this chapter in my life in a powerful way, and I'll get into more of that in just a moment. But really, the main thrust of where we are today is learning to walk in the power of the Spirit and not our own efforts. Now, that's an easy thing to say. It's a hard thing to do. And if you've been walking with the Lord for any length of time and you've tried to really learn to walk by the power of the Spirit, you know what I'm talking about. I mean, I would hear everybody say, as a new believer, they would say, "Well, walk by the power of the Spirit. Let God's power, you know, help you do everything." And I never could figure out how to make that really happen in a practical way. In other words, I would do what I was going to do, and then how do I get God's Spirit to do that? And I would see God's Spirit overlap what I was doing, but learning just to totally allow God to do it was a very difficult thing for me. It took many years. And it doesn't mean that we don't do our part, that we're not diligent, that we don't show up, study, pray, be ready, or whatever the case might be. But really learning to let the Holy Spirit work through us and flow through us, that is so essential to be effective in ministry. And God knew that Zechariah needed this. God knew that Joshua needed this. God knew that Zerubbabel, who was building, overseeing the building of the temple, needed this as well. And we're going to need it here. You know, we're getting ready to move into a project. We're going to be adding on for our family here at the church. But we're going to need the power of God to lead us in that and to walk through this. So this is a very, very appropriate passage of Scripture for where we are right now, and a very meaningful one to me, because again, I think one of the hardest things for us as believers to do is learn to do the ministry in the power of the Spirit and not our own effort. Now, again, when we get into this, it's kind of all to think about, but these visions here, really starting early on, back a couple of chapters back and even farther, this is one night of sleep for Zechariah. Try to imagine that. He's having eight visions in one night. And now we're coming to the fifth vision of the eight. And so this is a continual thing going on for him. Needless to say, he's probably a pretty sleepy guy. not getting a lot of sleep, but again, how exciting it would have been to be getting these visions as he's doing this. And very appropriate, as we're going to see, that in this fatigue just of these of this one night, that the angel comes here when it starts out to awaken him. We'll see that in just a moment. That again, I think that's appropriate because, again, God is showing him, even as I'll awaken you and keep the visions going, it's going to be my power that's going to do the ministry through you, Zechariah. And the building of the temple. Now, you got a picture where Zechariah was. He had come back with the early returners from Babylon. And again, there was nothing but rubble. I mean, there were just piles of rubble all over the Temple Mount, piles of rubble all over Jerusalem. And why so? It had been conquered by Babylon, remember, over 70 years now earlier, and there were just stones and rocks and rubble everywhere. And so you saw this mountain of just trash and in the sense of stones and all that you had to deal with. And so there was that opposition to overcome. Then you had the opposition from the enemies of Israel that were all around them. And you know, then you had, again, the emotional obstacles that are in the way when you're trying to do a work of God. So he has an insurmountable task is the point I'm going to get across to you. This is something beyond him. And God shows him now this vision. Although it's beyond you, I'm going to show you that it's going to be by my power I'm going to do it. And some of you may be facing something that is so beyond you. It's so much greater than anything you could ever do. God wants you to know he's going to do it by his power and by his spirit. He wants you to learn that. He wants you to rest in him. And it may take a while for that to sink in, but God is going to get that lesson across. You know, it's interesting to me. We noted it had been 16 years since this building project had begun. They began to lay the foundation. They laid the foundation. Then all the opposition came in. The people got discouraged because the work was too hard. They all started doing their own houses and their own things. God raised up, remember, Haggai and Zechariah to begin to encourage them. Hey, it's time to get back to the work of God. And God stirred them because now he wants to complete the work that he's begun. But God had some work he needed to do in the hearts of Zechariah, in Zerubbabel, in Joshua, and in everyone else there in the nation before God could move forward. And I think this is one of the hardest things oftentimes is waiting on God's timing. And we'll see that as we get into the passage. God is not only going to teach Zechariah about trusting in God's power, but learning to wait on God's power and being faithful in the midst of waiting on God's power and for God to work. I remember, again, when we started the ministry, how long it took to get things going. I mean, again, it was like 16 years before we were in our first building. So there's a lot of things that kind of, again, really speak to me out of this chapter and out of this whole situation and the years of struggling, trying to make things happen. You know, I felt like certain things needed to take place and I would try to make them happen, not understanding how to allow God to let them happen. And then what happens is over time, you come to a place where it's so far beyond you that you give up. And it's a great place to be. At first, it's discouraging because you think, well, I'm giving up. But then it's a great place to be when you realize I'm not giving up the call. I'm just giving up my efforts to make it happen. And you begin to see God work. And you begin to see God move. And I can honestly say it's when I really started just letting go and letting God just take the ministry, things began to happen. But as I said, I don't want you to be discouraged if you've tried to do that and you've been unable to do it because it took me many, many years to get to that place. And I think God brought me to a place where he had to, again, do a work in me before he could even do a work through me for the ministry. Well, we take up here now in chapter 4. And again, we're right in the middle of the night again. And the angel's now going to wake him up for this fifth vision. And notice it says there in verse 1, it says, "Now the angel of the Lord who talked with me came back and wakened me as a man who is wakened out of his sleep." No kidding. Again, vision after vision after vision. Now he wakes him up again. I wonder if Zechariah's thinking, finally, I can rest. No, here it comes again. I doubt he was thinking that because this would have been very exciting also in the sense of just God giving these visions. That would have been a great night, even though there wasn't a lot of sleep, but you can understand why he would need to awaken him. And he said to me, he said, "What do you see?" And so I said, "Well, I'm looking, and there is a lampstand of solid gold with a bowl on top of it, and a stand on the stand, rather, seven lamps with seven pipes to the seven lamps." Now, he would have known immediately what this was. This would have been the menorah. And being a priest in the temple on a regular basis and seeing the seven-branched menorah, you've all seen one of those, no doubt, he would have known right away what it was. Now, the menorah in the temple was 6 feet tall and 6 feet wide. So it's a rather large menorah. On top of it, it had these bowls, these containers that had these little lids. So you push your thumb and lift the lid thing up and go back down, and you would pour olive oil in there. That's what burned. It was olive oil lamps on top of each of these seven arms, the one in the middle and the three on each side. And so that's how it burned. The priests had each day they had to keep the lamps filled. They would have a little ladder they would get up on. They would open up the lamp and put the oil in, trim the wicks, keep the oil burning, and they had to constantly keep these things burning because, again, it was a picture of God's spirit and God's light in the temple. And so they could never let it go out. As a matter of fact, again, it was called the light of the world. Isn't that interesting? Jesus said, I am the light of the world. He was basically saying, I'm a walking menorah. I am the one that's shining the light. Of course, he was much greater than that, but you get my point. They would have understood what it represented. The light of the temple, the light of God, the light of the world shining for the world. And so their responsibility as priests was to keep that thing lit at all times. And again, the only time they could let part of them go out was at night. And the three on either side, they could put out, let them burn out, and go out for the evening as they went to bed. But one priest would have to stay up through the night to make sure the one in the middle was always burning. It could never completely go out because, again, it represented the Holy Spirit. It represented the light of God shining on his people and shining in the world. So the priest had to stay up all night, and they would take shifts on that. That would be a long night as well for that priest. So Zechariah had probably had some other long nights already. And so he was thinking about that. Yes, there's the menorah. We keep it filled with oil, and you have to stay up all night to keep that burning. But that was only part of what the priest's job was. Again, and God was making clear here to Zechariah, again, the exhaustion that he's finding from ministry, or the tiredness from ministry, God's going to make sure that he does it by his Spirit and Zechariah can rest. Remember, they also had all the sacrifices. So while they were watching the lamps and making sure they were burning, you had to sacrifice animals. Now, I'm glad that I'm a pastor in modern day and that I and wasn't a priest. You know, again, I say that. Maybe I would have loved being a priest. I'm sure I would have loved being a priest for the Lord. If he called me to that and I was raised in a priestly family, I know that I would have loved it. But it is a lot easier today just praying with you guys rather than you bringing me some animal that I've got to kill right in front of you. That's a little bit easier to do. And so they would have to sacrifice the animal. Then you would skin the animal. And then you would cut the animal up in little pieces, take it to the altar and put it on the altar. And you had to constantly keep fire going in the altar as well all the time, because it had to constantly stay burning, even as the fire in the menorah had to be burning. So here's my point. It wasn't that the job was exhausting and they hated it. It just was a very busy job. The priests were constantly doing the work of the ministry. And so in this vision, what God is showing to Zechariah is a picture of the fact of knowing what the requirements are for Zechariah and the other priests when they do the work of the ministry, and saying, you know what? I'm going to do something brand new. You're still going to be diligent. You're still going to be doing the work of the ministry, but it's not going to be by your power. It's going to be me giving you the power of the Holy Spirit and supplying everything you need for the ministry. And so as he looked at it, he goes, okay, this menorah is different. What's different? There's a bowl on top of it. Not like the bowls that were up on each, you know, on top where that they put the oil for each of the lamps. A totally separate bowl. And notice as he describes it, he says there were these tubes coming out of it. Of course, they would have gone out and gone to the first one, another tube coming out and going to the other one, another tube, two tubes here, and then the tube in the middle. And it's just feeding this golden oil from heaven, constantly flowing into these receptacles to be burning there in the temple. I know that what I would be thinking, that's great. I don't have to get up on that ladder and change everything and refill them. And Lord, you're doing something here. You're showing me that somehow you're going to do something without me being involved, and yet you're going to supply everything that we need. What a great thing for Zechariah to hear, especially when they were going to be facing this gigantic project. And again, for any pastor to hear something like that, when God is about to do something new, to realize it's the Lord that's going to do the work. And so the lesson he's learning is God's going to do it, not you. And notice what he says there in verse 3. He says, two olive trees are by it, one at the right hand of the bowl and the other at its left. So he sees there in the vision these other trees that are there. And they're standing on either side of these olive trees, which is also very symbolic of the fact that it's olive oil that would be feeding the lamps. And so it's like this, it's a picture of this constant supply that's always going to be there. And by the way, listen, the Bible says that God gives us right now a constant supply of his Holy Spirit. That is that picture of the oil of heaven. He gives it to us if we'll simply ask. And if you're getting fatigued in life, you're getting fatigued in the work that God's called you to do, whether it's in ministry or even your workplace, you can ask God to fill you with his Holy Spirit. And then we're supposed to ask God each day to fill us fresh. Isn't it interesting? The priest had to fill the bowls every single day in order for the fire to be burning. Well, the Bible says that we're to do that every day as priests unto the Lord. You may not be a pastor, but the Bible says we're all kings and priests unto God. It tells us that in Revelation chapter 1, if we've given our life to the Lord. And so we need that constant refilling. And it says in Ephesians 5:18, to be continually being filled with the Holy Spirit. So we need to be asking God to fill us on a regular basis with his Spirit. I pray that every day. Every day I get up, God, fill me with your Spirit today. I pray that every time before I come out and share with you guys. When I'm back there, God, fill me with your Holy Spirit. I need the golden oil of heaven right now so the people of God can hear from God. They need to hear from heaven. They don't need to hear from me. And so again, that's available to you, even as God was showing Zechariah that it was available to him, and God was going to be working in him and through him in this. And he sees these olive trees, which represent that supply, if you will, of the Spirit of God for them. And notice verse 4, so I answered and spoke to the angel who talked with me, saying, what are these, my Lord? And the angel who talked with me answered and said to me, do you not know what these are? And I said, no, my Lord. Now, whether or not he was really supposed to know, I don't know. He's going to ask him this more than once. Do you not know what this is? I mean, you're a prophet. You know, I don't know whether or not he was kind of challenging him there or whether it was just kind of the rhetoric back and forth. Probably that. But either way, I don't know what this is. And he answered and said to me, here's this vision that you're seeing. Here's what it really means. He's going to tell him the meaning now. This is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel. Now, remember, Zerubbabel was overseeing the building of the temple. He said, in other words, you go tell Zerubbabel this. Not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. What a great thing for Zerubbabel to hear. What a great message to come from Zechariah. That is, look, I know you've been striving and doing your best to get this thing built, and we've been delayed for 16 years in doing it. But it's going to happen now, Zerubbabel. And it's not going to be because you're getting cunning, you're wise, more creative, more innovative. No. It's going to be a move and a work of God. And what I've seen over the years of the ministry here is that when it's God's timing, God's going to move. It's all up to him. And yet oftentimes, you know, I have trouble waiting on God's timing. I want it to be in my timing. The Bible says in his time, he makes all things beautiful. I want God to make all things beautiful in my time. But God doesn't do that. And so God is saying here, look, it's not going to be by your efforts, but by my spirit. And notice what he reminds him. I love this beautiful reminder. Again, this phrase that he uses all through the book of Zechariah, this Lord of hosts, or the Lord of armies, or the Lord of Sabaoth, as we talked about. That is, I'm going to fight for you now. I know you've been fighting. I know you've been trying to make this happen. Now I'm going to fight for you. The armies of heaven are going to fight for you, and this thing is going to take place. And again, after all that they've been through, what an encouragement that was to Zerubbabel to hear this. We're finally going to get this thing done. You know, again, there's a lot of things, as I told you guys, that really touched my heart in this. And one is that all the years of battle where we have tried to get our projects done and to get things done. And I believe that when the time is right, God by his spirit, and I think we're at that time, is going to help us to do exactly what it is that God wants to do. It's not going to be by our efforts, but it's going to be by the Lord's efforts. And I look back at all the years of waiting and just watching for when God's going to work and how God's going to work. And then God, again, now bringing it about in his time and just saying, Lord, you know, why is it so long? I understand this. I can associate with this. But all kinds of things interrupting the ministry, aren't there? Yes, that's what goes on. But anyway, so again, he's saying, you know, this encouragement, when I'm going to do this, I'm going to do it. It's going to be my spirit. It's going to be my power. What a great rest that would have been for Zechariah. What a great rest that is for me. As I said, for many years of struggling and trying so hard to do it. And God says, no, now I'm going to do it. And look what he goes on to say. Who are you, O great mountain? Remember, we talked about all the obstacles. Had a great mountain of rubble, a great mountain of emotion, a great mountain of the enemies and the opposition. O you great mountain that's stopping the project from moving forward. Before Zerubbabel, you shall become a plain. I love that. It's like, I'm going to knock this mountain out of the way. And rather than a mountain, you're going to walk on smooth ground. Isn't that beautiful? What a great thing for God to say to any one of us. You're struggling, you're trying to serve God, you're doing maybe as a dad, maybe as a mom, whatever you're trying to do in your workplace, in the ministry God's given you to do, and you're saying, God, I need you to move this mountain. This mountain is larger than I can move. I can't do this. God says, wait on me, continue to cry out to me, and when it's time, I will send the armies of heaven to fight for you. How encouraging that is. He says, before Zerubbabel, you shall become a plain, and he shall bring forth the capstone with shouts of grace, grace, to it. You know, Zerubbabel was probably wondering, am I going to even finish this thing? I laid the foundation, but am I even going to get to finish it? And God's now saying to him, yes, you're going to put the capstone on it. Not only the foundation, but the capstone, the finishing touches. And when it happens, here's what everybody's going to be shouting, grace, grace. In other words, this didn't happen by our efforts. God did this. It's the grace of God that has done this work. And when that happens, guess who gets all the glory? The Lord does. He gets all the glory. That's how God wants it to be. Listen, oftentimes the reason that God makes us wait and God allows us to fail and things don't go the way that we think they should is because God has to get us in a place where he gets the glory, where we give it to him and then he gets it on his own by the way that it happens. When you see what God does, you go, okay, look, I know this is God. This could never have been done in any other way. And so now he's saying, this is what's going to happen with you guys. You're going to know that it's me. You're going to recognize that I've done it. And don't worry. I'm going to be faithful to do everything that needs to be done in order for it to take place. Again, I look at over the 27 years that we've been here and all the obstacles and the mountains that we face. And again, it's the same thing. God has been faithful to do what he needed to do at that moment. And notice it says, moreover, the word of the Lord came to me saying, the hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this temple. His hand shall also finish it. What a word of encouragement. It's going to happen. Even though you think it doesn't. It's been a long time. It's going to happen. And when it does, notice this, then you will know that the Lord of hosts or the Lord of armies has sent me to you. You're going to know then this was my work and my word. You just had to delay. It was just delayed until my timing. You know, and so again, so many lessons here. And God now puts the capstone on their hearts. Even as he did on the building, he puts a capstone on the heart. That's an important thing for God to speak to our heart and say, I'm going to do this. You got to trust me. It's going to happen. And that's where faith comes in. Once God says he's going to do something. Now, again, if they had just started and said, you know, we're just going to build this thing and we don't know if God wants us to do it or not, but all the other gods in the area, they've got their temples. We're going to build our temple. And so we're going to just kind of go and do it. Well, you know, good luck on that one, right? Is that going to happen or not? Right? Probably not, unless they can stir everybody up and get them emotionally involved in giving to this building project or whatever. But when it's God, now you can rest. The capstone is on the heart. See, one of the things I see that's happening even now, like with us and moving forward with this project that we're about to endeavor into, is that I've watched God over the 27 years just take us from step to step to step. It's a lot like a family. You know, when you're a young family, you get married and you're going, how are we going to afford this? And what are we going to do? And God provides. He gives you a place and you're good and it's all done. And then again, you get in there, you have your first child, you know, and then there's all the things that go, that gets a little bit crowded. You can do okay in the first apartment. You know, maybe you have to go, second child comes, it's time to move into another apartment, third child or however many you have, finally you have to move into a home. And then God just gives you what you need as it goes and as it grows. And that's part of it. Well, he does the same thing in a body of Christ. If we just said, you know what, we're just going to build a building because we want to, and other people have buildings, we're going to do this. Man, that it doesn't work. That ends up being something that puts a strain on the body and really, again, ends up being oftentimes the pastor asking for money all the time from the people. But when it's simply God doing the work and you know that the need is there, look, God knows when the family grows, there needs to be some more rooms available. There needs to be more things so the house can be larger. God will then open up the doors to do that. And the exciting thing is we get to watch it all happen together. And the exciting thing to me is that, again, it's so far beyond us because we're nowhere near what we need to be able to do something like that, that we have to go, God, you've got to do it. It's not by might nor by power, but by my spirit. And I believe we're all going to grow leaps and bounds in faith watching this progress, this project take place. Because God, that's what God does. And that's what God was doing in them. He's saying, you guys just, you show up, you be faithful. I'm going to bring you what you need to do it. I'll make it happen. And the Lord of armies is going to be the one to do it. That's me. And look at verse 10. Now, again, he needed to know that it was not by his power, but by God's power. But he also needed to encourage Zechariah and Zerubbabel, especially after waiting all these years. Is it going to happen, Lord? Is it going to happen? Why isn't it happening? Look what he says in verse 10. You've got to have patience. For who has despised the day of small things? You know, what a question for us. Who has despised the day of small things? You know, I did. And I don't know that I'd use the word despise. That sounds a little harsh to me because I didn't despise it. Like, all right, you know. And maybe I did. I don't know. All I know is this. When we planted and first started, I expected things to go faster than they went.
You've been listening to Come to the Table with Pastor Mark Kirk. Pastor Mark is the senior pastor of Calvary Knoxville in Knoxville, Tennessee. Today's message comes from a series on the book of Zechariah towards the end of the Old Testament. In this book, the Israelites have returned from their exile in Babylon, but are now wondering when the promised messianic kingdom will come to pass. However, God asks them to wait on his timing because he has a perfect plan in place to offer salvation to mankind. Maybe you're waiting on God's timing today, and it can be discouraging when you don't hear anything from him. Pastor Mark wants you to know that God isn't ignoring you. And he hasn't forgotten you. Your timeline might not be perfectly in sync with God's timeline, but your story is a small part of God's magnificent plan for this entire world. He will not forget you, and he will reward your patience. If you'd like to share how God has been speaking to you during today's message, you can do so by calling us at 865-609-1385. Or by visiting us online at thewaymedia.net. Once again, that phone number is 865-609-1385. If you're on our website, you'll also find links to our podcast feed. In case you've missed a past teaching from Pastor Mark, or have a specific passage of Scripture you want to dive deeper into, we hope you take advantage of all those online resources. we'd like to thank you for joining us for today's message from Pastor Mark. Tune in next time for another edition of Come to the Table. Come to the Table is a radio outreach ministry of Calvary Knoxville.